Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Jerry Ferrara. Turtle. From Entourage. Who doesn't love Entourage? So we have Turtle on from Entourage, and we also have Hard Knocks recap. We have the season finale of Hard Knocks. We're going to give it the final score on the ball scale. Hot Seat, Cool Throne, Zeke Watch. We're going to do some power rankings and Guys on Chicks. A nice, quick, tight show before football really starts on Thursday
night. But wait, Big Cat, football's back.
Not yet. No, I won't start. That'll be on Friday's show, okay. And then on Monday's show again. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $5 for free, $5 to ASPCA. Win-win. Save some animals. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, and Luke Wilson is a hero.
It was great to see him on the show. It was tough to see him get cut. We kind of had an understanding that he was probably – the math didn't work out.
He texted us after the show and was like, yeah, I'm probably going to get cut.
You got to change the math.
Make sure you get those shirts here fast.
Good news is he's getting a tryout with the Saints, and we overnighted the shirts to him, so got a little product placement on Hard Knocks.
Best-looking cut player of all time?
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Out of all the ones – him and – well, much better than Chad Johnson when he got cut. That was a mess in Hard Knocks.
So we had the Hard Knocks season finale. We will get to a final score. Oh, by the way, Luke Wilson also shout out to go out calling tails and winning in the coin toss in Seattle. Tails never fails.
It never fails.
Way to fucking go, dude.
Because it rhymes. Also, he had probably the quote of all Hard Knocks this year. It is what it is. It's not what it's not.
It's not what it's not. So we had the season finale of Hard Knocks was an encapsulation of the whole season where it was very boring, except for John Gruden.
Gruden was awesome.
John Gruden giving the quizzing everyone where Danny Woodhead went to college, talking about dirty eyes in the backfield.
Got to have clean eyes back there. I don't want these Bob Costas,
these
pink
dirty
eyes.
Go east,
these
west,
butt cheek eyes north, back
south
here.
Olivier Vernon, he said that he's so good he eats glass and nails for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And just basically John Gruden being John Gruden.
The best part by far was when John Gruden started getting involved in the quarterback drills to make sure that they were scrambling. So he lined up as like a defensive tackle, like a three technique. And he was just running at him, screaming letters. And the way that John Gruden runs is so fucking funny. He runs like he doesn't move his arms. He looks like a penguin in Antarctica when a scientist gets too close to his eggs. He just charges directly at him. It was so awesome.
And squealing and like making little funny like grunt noises that were just so perfect. It was John Gruden at his absolute happiest. He probably won't be that happy for a long time. But I agree. If the NFL wants to combat any upstart leagues, just have a stream of John Gruden chasing quarterbacks.
It was
for
amazing.
Hours upon hours. I'd watch that over most sports.
Honestly, I would listen to John Gruden just calling players by their numbers for about 30 minutes nonstop.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at 33 there.
Peterman's hurt. It's sick. He was so mad.
Look at 45. 45, well, he'll put his head on you real
dirty
quick.
Dirty eyes.
That's as close as a real football guy like John Gruden will ever get to stats or sabermetrics is just saying the numbers of a player's jersey.
And counting back from three.
Oh, yeah, he's really good at that.
And Antonio Brown got the Hard Knocks bump.
Yes, he
looks like he's all the way back and is going to be unstoppable.
Jumping out of a pool. The best way to get back for football training is to jump in inside of a pool.
He had a stationary bike that was like bolted down to the bottom of his pool that he could work
out
with.
Something about, I think it's because the regular population, 99.9% of us, use pools to relax in and hang out in and pee in. And then when athletes get in them and train, you're like, that is so badass. It's like they're training on the moon.
That's actually a great point, because you look at some of the all-time Instagram workout warriors. James Harrison on a beach volleyball court, he's throwing medicine balls around.
Dude.
On a massage table, he's getting 200 needles jammed into his back for acupuncture.
Yeah,
they take our culture of being lazy and they turn it into a gym.
Right. Lifting couches and throwing them around the yard. And Antonio Brown, like, if all he needed to do is jump out of the pool, and I would have been like, this guy's the greatest wide receiver of all time.
Yeah. And I mean, when John Gruden got really into Metallica playing in the morning,
yes,
like that, he doesn't need a cup of coffee. He just needs a song from the Black Album to come on, and he's good to go for the entire day. And it's actually kind of funny, because when they were riding into work, they were listening to the radio, and to me it feels almost like Metallica is too modern of a band for a football coach to get into. They're usually stuck like 30 years, whatever the coach that hired them the first time to be an assistant, whatever that guy listened to is usually what
Bob Seger,
NFL coaches.
The Eagles.
Exactly, yeah.
The Dan Campbell definitely watched that scene and wept quietly wherever he is right now.
He's like, that's what I'm talking about.
That is my guy. Yeah. We finished the season perfectly, though, with a look forward and Mark Davis standing awkwardly in his dead father's office that nothing has changed, including the whiteboard. The whiteboard. Al Davis's keys to, I think it was drafting or putting together a football team.
A fast wide receiver.
No, here we
that
go.
Sucks.
Ready? This is what it said. One, power.
Okay.
Two, big people.
Okay.
Three.
Is this just not people he wants to fuck?
No, this is what how you make a winning football team. Okay. Three, pass pro. Four, defense. So four, defense all the way to fourth. Five, play calling.
Six, quarterback that can hit the uprights from 50 yards out on his knees.
Seven, spending the last 10 years looking like a walking member of Tales from the Crypt and scaring everyone in every press conference.
Eight, doing cocaine all night with Hunter S. Thompson and eating meatloaf all day with John Madden.
Nine, birthing a fail son who wears white sunglasses and tucks in his shirt and has an awesome haircut. I cleaned it up at the end.
Okay.
Awesome haircut. Yeah.
And great taste in Vans.
So, yeah, the Las Vegas Raiders are coming. I get so excited when I see the construction of a new stadium. I don't know what it is, but those steel beams, it's just like, fuck, this is going to be sick.
Dude,
and then it's going to look exactly like every other stadium.
Yeah, the time-lapse porn on that is incredible. Every time, who is it? Is it Andrew Siciliano or is it Rich Eisen? One of those guys, whenever they fly into L.A., they fly right over the new L.A. stadium, and they take a picture of it every single time.
Is where our office is going to be?
I will never look at another man's picture out of his own plane window. That's just guy code.
Yeah.
But when there's a stadium being built on the ground, I can't help but stop every time.
Yes, it's fantastic to watch. So, finale of Hard Knocks, balls. I'm giving it 2.8 balls on the five-ball system.
I'd say 2.5.
It wasn't very good.
It wasn't that great.
Gruden saved it.
I would have liked a little Mike Mayock mixed in there with some of his Mayockisms.
Mike Mayock refused to be on camera, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, like, you notice that usually in Hard Knocks, we get the awkward conversation where it's like, hey, man, you did great things for us. If you need me to back you up, I will call every team and get you another job. And then, like, the guy leaves and the general manager's like, who was that again?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get that weird conversation.
What I missed most about that is the standard issue general manager cargo shorts that they give to everybody in the league. I remember Tannenbaum on the Jets had probably the best pair of cargo shorts that he would wear every single day.
And they act so sad, and like, yeah, have a seat. Like, man, this was the hardest thing ever. It's like, no, dude, that was cut number, that was the 84th guy on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even sniff the team.
Yeah, and then they're always like, and if any other team needs a recommendation, we'll give you a great one.
We got you.
Despite the fact that we just cut you immediately.
We have no tape of you, and we didn't even know you were here.
You literally didn't make the Raiders.
Yeah.
So if the Patriots want to give you a sniff, we'll be sure to give them a high recommendation.
Sure.
Yeah, it's tough, because I don't want to talk about another man's job, because there are some players that got cut that I think Brandon Marshall will play this year.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Luke Wilson will play this
year. Definitely will play this year. Tried out with the Saints.
Yeah.
We'll put a good word.
That's right. We'll give our guy down there a call about him. But, yeah, it was definitely missing a little je ne sais quoi.
Yeah. Hank,
I would give it like 3.5 balls. The Luke Wilson montage with the music and him wearing the shirt walking out, like that was a tear.
That was enough to get you.
It was gut wrenching. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
and
good
the,
in like
the
an
remix
artistic
they had.
That,
I like
way.
The hip hop remix of the old NFL songs.
That was good.
Uh-huh. Antonio,
they should have just played that the whole time.
And the Antonio Brown montage, I was like, oh my god, like he's gonna be dominant.
Don't change our opinions.
I thought it was pretty good.
All right, so it lands like somewhere around 3-ish balls.
Yeah, around 3.
Right. How many balls for the season?
That's what we said.
That's what we're saying.
Oh, for
not
yeah,
just
the whole
today's
season.
Show. The whole season.
I gave it 2.8.
Oh, I go 3.5, 4.
Okay, so yeah, we landed somewhere around 3 because PFT went 2.5. So that's the ball system.
I just needed. Here's what I needed. I needed some Mike Mayock, and the fact that they gave me about 10 minutes. Of a Gruden son that was not Deuce Gruden really pissed me off.
And
last
more
week.
Mark Davis. Mark Davis puts asses in the seats. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's one way or the other. Whether you're repulsed or enthralled, you will
people
watch.
People will show up to
you
look
will
at
watch Mark Davis
his ass on a seat.
Standing in an office.
Just Mark Davis in a pair of white pants.
Yeah, and he does the thing where he tucks in his quick like way to figure out if a guy's a total weirdo and head case. They tuck their thumbs into their jean pockets.
Yeah.
That's like, look at it. Like, if you're watching on barstoolgold.com/PMT, sign up right now. This, like standing like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fucking weird thing to do.
That's pretty strange.
Yeah.
Also, the guy that has, if we're going thumbs, the guy with the thumb hole cut out that he makes himself of his own sleeve.
Yeah.
That's always kind of a weird move.
All right. So that was Hard Knocks. We have, before we get to Hot Seat Cool Throne, little Zeke watch. Zeke watch was on full effect in Dallas today. They had the people at the airport. They had a chopper following the car. Zeke, it seems like they're about to sign him. It seems like Jerry Jones is about to be like, hey, Zeke, I'll give you $10 million under the table if you just sign. I feel like, is this crazy to say, but anytime a guy, like he's going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he will. Melvin Gordon, I don't think, is going to unless they trade him.
And, like, I don't root for injuries, but I always would find it funny if Zeke signed for a shitload of money and then even faked an injury.
I'm
it's
sure
like,
he
fuck you guys.
I'm sure he wouldn't be completely heartbroken if he got a brand new contract and then
broke
injured. His foot. Yeah, he'd probably be okay with that long term. So the Cowboys seem to be going with a strategy where they've signed Jalen Smith. They signed Lael Collins earlier. They signed DeMarcus Lawrence this offseason to a very long contract. Zach Martin, he had a huge extension. I think what Jerry Jones is doing by putting together all these extensions right now as the triplets are still waiting for theirs is he's doing the old we got free donuts in the break room email.
Right.
And so the last person to get in there is going to miss out on all the donuts. And so Ezekiel Elliott saw all these contracts coming in. He's like, I got to get my ass out of Cabo and get into the break room until they eat the last bear claw.
I also think Jerry Jones, one, the cap's going to go up. And I think Jerry Jones has enough power that he can actually just make the cap go up. Like, he could go to the owners' meeting and be like, hey, guys, cap's going up because I need to sign everyone. Two, Jerry Jones being so smart that he sees the future of football and it's going to actually just be 7-on-7? And so he's like, if I only pay 9 guys, I'll be fine.
It's a very fine line between Jerry Jones being too smart and being too drunk.
He's,
I don't know which
pay,
side of the line he's on at this given moment.
They're going to pay 9 guys like 90% of the cap.
I think he's just hoping that nobody has the balls to call him out on a salary cap violation.
He's just going to pay everyone under the table.
He can just be like, you're doing some fuzzy math there.
Someone get Jerry Jones' Bitcoin account.
Oh, yeah.
Something's up.
With the Bitcoin situation.
Something's up. And then the other news, speaking of money and contracts, Jared Goff. Our guy, Jared Goff, got paid. So, shout out Jared Goff. We all have Cash App. Why don't you spread the wealth, dude?
Yeah. What is it, $110 million? I'm not trying to wallet peep on Jared Goff, but
and I'm
is...
not even trying to ask for a lot. Like,
not,
I'm just
not
asking
for us.
Like, one game check.
Not
$75,000 each.
$1 million off the truck is nothing.
It's,
that truck
you don't
is
even
still,
notice
yeah.
it.
For
They're
the
still
animals.
Marking that for a full delivery.
You I own mean, your house, Jared. You're fine.
Could
like,
you,
you've already paid that thing off.
You could make the argument that maybe he would have only gotten $107 million guaranteed if we weren't always telling Sean McVay what a good quarterback
what he was. What if he said, I'll give you guys that money in a house, but we have to move to L.A.?
You can't go in the water. Deal. That deal is still on the table. If you want to move to L.A. tomorrow, but you can never go into any water at all, we can do it.
Hank just did the Twitter question of, fellas, which would you rather have, $1 million in a hot tub or get run over by a truck?
Yeah.
Tough question.
Hmm.
Would I rather get a free house in Southern California,
win the lottery,
or not have a free house? Yeah. Was that the question?
Win the lottery, have to fuck your mom. Go.
Tough call. Life's full of important choices.
Damn, I'll go lottery. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go lottery.
But either way, Jared, your favorite podcast, I'm not saying, but...
Or, I mean, we could just give him some ideas that he could invest in, as opposed to just being like, give us money, so...
Or, here's where we should go. Follow along here, guys. What if we did, like, a court... You know, like, when you go to a Final Four or Super Bowl, the Eagles, which I already mentioned in this podcast, that's two for the Eagles, they'll do a corporate show for, like, Chase, and it will be 300 people in a private... place and they'll play a whole set. Jared, for $1 million, we will do a private Pardon My Take for you.
Yeah.
Done.
And we'll perform Drink Paint.
Done.
Live in your backyard.
How about that?
How much money did you say?
And an acoustic $1 million.
$1 million.
Cash.
An acoustic version of Chalk.
And you can't tell anyone that you gave us the cash because I don't want to pay the taxes.
No, it's all under the table. Jerry Jones style. Yeah. I mean, or if you want to invest in our ideas, you live in LA, you could get Boner Dogs off the ground.
How much money do you think, Jerry?
Invest in the Tumball franchise.
Yeah.
You could, here's an app that you can invest in. I just invented Uber, but for firefighters. So if you see a brush fire,
nice.
Just hit a button and somebody shows up and,
And
pisses on it.
Yeah, we'll show up. How much money do you think Jared Goff could give us before his accountant was like, eh, I don't think so, man. Because that's really what it comes down to, right?
It's like 5 to 10 million.
I don't know if it's that, but it's definitely
if you got
100,000 each, right? Like, I'm trying to get the bar low here. No accountant is like, hey, Jared, what's that 300,000?
Always preach art of the deal.
Hold on, dude. Hold on. You don't want $100,000 cash?
Yeah, but you start high.
No one. We already started high. Now we're going. Now we're settling. Like we'll just settle for that $100,000 cash.
That's fine.
Fine.
How hilarious would it be? Seriously, if like we woke up tomorrow, and
cash out,
and all three of us had $100,000.
That would be such a good prank, Jared.
Oh god. Oh man, you get us so.
You're
good,
dude. You're so funny.
Crazy.
All right, let's do hot seat, cool throw, and get to turtle. Hank.
My hot seat is the Mets.
Wait, real quick. He has to get a better Tesla than Blake, right? That's got to be his next move. Like, the one step up from what Blake has.
Yes, he does. He does. Hot seat Mets.
They are basically their season's over. They
Explain.
Blew a 7-run lead in the ninth. 7 runs, including a 3-run walk-off home run to Nationals.
To who?
The Nationals.
Is Natitude back?
I think so.
I feel like this
place was rocking, all 20 people that were there. So.
I've watched 3 Nats games in the last 3.5 weeks.
There you go.
And now I'm about to start. I think Natitude's back, guys.
The Mets, it might be because of who we work with and everything.
I've been rooting for the Mets because obviously the Red Sox are out of it. I hate the Yankees, and I'm in New York, and so they're always on TV. And it's like, oh, like if the Mets are good, it'd be fun to watch. And they just cannot seem to put it together. And now it's clearly over.
Yeah, but my timeline, there's something about the Mets losing. The meltdowns are so – I mean, Frank the Tank was
– Yeah.
That was
something
art.
Else. I thought he was going to
Kevin always
on
melting
his shirt.
Down like Clem. All these guys, and it's probably just because I know them so well, but their meltdowns are just, they're on a different level.
And they always know it's coming, too.
Yes, they always know it's coming.
You know what I think is part of it is Mr. Met, just the mascot, the big, goofy baseball.
And Mrs. Met, yeah.
With the giant smile that's always on his face.
Yeah.
Like, seeing that guy upset over a heartbreaking loss is classic comedy.
What did I give the finger last year? All-time mascot moment.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
All right, what's your cool throne?
Then my cool throne is eating ass.
Oh,
good.
Go on.
We're back.
Flume, one of your guys' favorite artists,
I love
sure.
Flume, yeah.
He was doing a concert.
What song
He's kind of got a potty mouth, huh?
Call no, me he baby? Was doing a concert, and someone had a sign in the crowd, and it just said, Flume doesn't eat ass. And he brought his girlfriend on stage
and ate her ass?
Started eating ass.
He did?
Yeah.
He started eating her ass?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck yeah, dude. Way to go, Flume.
She's ride or die.
That's awesome.
Literally.
Yeah, because that's like one of those things that... If you have no, like, heads up that you're going to eat ass,
imagine
you can't
that
prep
triggered.
The ass.
Imagine getting that triggered by an ass-eating sign.
Imagine if she was just sitting there swamp ass on
no
the side
dude
of
wipes
the stage just
in
farting
range.
Up.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine she was like, oh, thank God Flume is on stage so I can sit here and fart.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's
a
good
risk,
for, good for her, good for him. Who says true love is dead?
Yeah.
How old is Flume?
Who knows? You know, levitate, insane, hyper-real.
Yeah, of course.
You know these songs. Wall Fuck.
All the classics. Wall Fuck. Yeah. I had my my first kiss to Wall Fuck.
Australian record producer, Flume.
Oh, that loses a little bit of the coolness because in Australia, you eat ass like you're shaking hands. That's like a classic hello.
All right, what do you got, PFT?
Whoa.
Oh, he's not done.
Sorry.
Hold your horses.
Thought we were doing a tight show.
No.
Oh.
What do you mean? You got as many cool throws as you want. My other one is people looking to invest. So I'm sure we have a lot of young entrepreneurial listeners, maybe have a little bit of extra cash. They want to make that money work for them. Larry shirts and stocks are now back on sale as of today.
Okay, so if you are a first-time listener around this time of the season, Larry is our goldfish.
Larry 6.
Larry 6. Mm-hmm. Don't ask what happened to the first five.
We have new Larry 6 t-shirts.
Oh, yo, grab them. So we have Larry's shirts. So Larry enters into the Las Vegas Super Contest every year. We have entered.
And what is the Las Vegas Super Contest?
It's a contest of all the best gamblers in the world. And Larry is one of them.
Costs a lot of money to enter.
I tweeted out the card, so he's officially entered. He's going to pick five games every single week. And if you buy a t-shirt, a Larry t-shirt, you will get stock in owning Larry.
And it comes with a certificate.
Yeah, and in 2016, he finished 50th, just outside the money. If he finishes in the money, we will divvy up the money with everyone who owns the stock after processing fees for us.
And it's up to what? $2 million if you win the whole thing,
yeah, something like that. Remember the process,
but fees. But $2 million,
we can take whatever we
want. It's like owning a racehorse. Essentially, you get to frame your stock, put it on your wall, and you have made an active investment. As a matter of fact, if you are if maybe you just came into some money and you're looking to make a great investment, then why not just buy like $1 million worth of stock in a goldfish?
Yeah, Larry. Yeah, pump and dump.
Yeah.
What other stocks come with a free T-shirt too?
I can't.
Microsoft.
One.
Really?
Is yeah, they true? Send you a polo.
Well, it's swag, like a nice golf.
This is a polo. It's pretty nice.
Probably Fire. Was that Billy McFarland's company?
Fanatics.
Yeah,
they might. I mean, they're a T-shirt company.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know this though.
We don't.
No, I don't. I made up Microsoft.
What are stonks?
None.
What are stonks? None. Because I've seen the stonk meme. We should just put the stonk meme.
Stonks are on the rise.
So you'll actually get a free stonk. With Larry, and stonks are going through the roof right now.
No, but seriously, buy it because it's fun to root along with Larry's picks, and he was 60% in 2016, and you can say that you own a goldfish, a gambling goldfish that will do better than thousands of people in the Las Vegas Supercontest.
Including us, probably.
We're not in it, but yeah.
He makes five picks a week.
Yeah.
So you'll, follow along with Larry.
All right, so go buy a Barstool Sports store. PFT.
We're done, Hank?
Yes, sir.
Okay, my hot seat is the New England Patriots.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, New England Patriots on the hot seat because Mike Tomlin gave a press conference today, and Mike Tomlin is back. He's had an entire offseason to just – I assume all he's been doing is reading, like, Ralph Waldo Emerson and doing dizzy bat races simultaneously because of how cryptic his Mike Tomlinisms have been today during his press conference. I'm going to read you all three of them. The first one was, if you have red paint, you paint your barn red.
Yes. Fact.
Football guy quote.
Makes sense.
Fact. It's true.
This is what he said.
Spot,
This is what he said about the Patriots atmosphere. Cooks like to be in the kitchen.
Okay.
And then the last one was, a nose guard is like Blockbuster Video. You better diversify.
Also fact.
Rooney Rule.
There's only one Blockbuster left in the U.S.
And you can't diversify if there's just one store.
Mm-hmm. There is one, though.
Yeah.
Where's Washington or something. I saw it. It was kind of cool.
I need to go to it.
Yeah.
The bottom line is Mike Tomlin, he talks like, what's the guy from Dirty Jobs? He talks like Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
If you translated his quotes into German and then took the German translation, translated them back into English.
Yeah.
That's basically how you get a Mike Tomlin quote about doing something that you don't want to do.
He's in peak performance. He's mid-season form.
And that you think that means it's going to translate to the field.
I think if I were the Patriots, I would be very careful around Mike Tomlin.
Or would you say that
he honestly sounds like he's gotten insane.
Worse.
Let me ask you a question,
right,
Hank.
That's a bad thing.
What do you think you should use with your red paint? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Hank, if you had red paint
and
a barn, what would you do with it?
I'd paint it red.
Yeah, there you go. So it sounds like you're a Tomlin stan.
Yeah, took you a second. But you got it. Okay, your cool throne.
My cool throne is Dan Snyder.
Mm.
So not only is Natitude back, which is great for the District of Champions, D.C., Dan Snyder is in great form because the Washington Post just did a long article about the 20 years of glory since Snyder has bought the team, in which they have, I believe, 3 playoff wins and 8 head coaches. And they got a quote. They tried to find some people to give good quotes, positive quotes about Snyder's tenure, and they found one. Do you know who they had that had positive things to say?
Dan Snyder.
Well, probably if he had interviewed and he wasn't such a fucking recluse. But it was Stephen Jones from the Cowboys.
Nice.
So the Cowboys ownership thinks that the Redskins ownership, our words, ownership, is doing a great job. They said, I've got nothing but respect for Dan and what he can get done there in Washington. He is a visionary.
That's perfect.
So, yeah.
Your rival, so your it, chief rival, saying you're doing a great job.
That's actually the best compliment that you've ever given the R words, to say that the Cowboys are still the rival.
Yeah.
That honestly makes me feel better as a fan. That's like,
I mean, they technically are, just, you know, historically and all that shit.
Talking them up is like, this. You'll appreciate this, Hank, like when Bill Belichick has to find something nice to say about an opponent, even when he knows that they're vastly superior, and he, like, I don't know, he finds something.
Finds their, like, line, their backup linebacker. He's like, he's got good tape.
Or he says, like, Andy Dalton, you got to appreciate this guy's effort on tackling when he throws an interception.
Yeah.
Love it.
Facts.
That so, new, also cool throw is just Bill Belichick football porn. Because
that Saban Belichick documentary looks pretty fucking sick.
It does.
All right, my hot seat is conversion therapy. I don't know if you guys saw this. You hear about this? Did you see this? The founder of the nation's biggest conversion therapy for homosexuals came out as gay.
Oh.
Never saw that coming.
You think?
Never saw that plot twist coming.
Yep. That's
spent years and years trying to tell people that they shouldn't be gay. And then after years and years of just fake science and trying to convert people, he's like, oh, actually.
Well, he was using real science to commit fake science, which is like electrocuting people into thinking they're straight.
They're done. Conversion therapy canceled.
Okay.
Already was, but now it's like really canceled.
There's got to be some unreal like Facebook comment posts about people converted and then are now upset.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's Facebook is popping on this.
Somebody that's converted that's just been biting the inside of their cheek bloody for the last 20 years.
This fucking guy. Never saw this one coming. And then my cool throne is me and you guys. I don't know if you guys looked at the NFL Week 1 schedule.
I did.
I like every single game.
I peaked.
I'm going to be on fire on Sunday.
I'm pretty confident.
I'm
going to
bet every game, and I'm going to win every game.
We'll get into our picks on Friday.
Yeah. Knock if you're with me.
But, yeah, knock on wood.
Yeah.
Chad Vaughn State.
Dude, I looked at it. I was like, winner, winner, winner. Just went down. And I was doing everything. I was doing overs, unders, dogs, favorites. I see the board so clearly, there's no way this is going to blow up in my face.
It does look like the most easy week to win of all time, doesn't it?
Dude.
It's like a little bit dangerous.
Falcons +4 against the Vikings.
Every underdog.
Oh, give it to me. Mm-hmm. You like the Jags +3.5?
I do. I love them. +3.5 at home
this
against
the Chiefs.
This is going
to be easy.
Every jackass out there is going to be betting on the Chiefs. Not me. I'm going to take the Jags and win because I'm smart.
Yeah, so this is not going to come back and bite us. We got this. So week one coming up, we're going to do all our picks on Friday.
You talked me into a Moneyline parlay.
Yeah. Here it is. You want my big idea?
Once the word Moneyline parlay comes across my desk,
okay,
I have to explore. I got to sniff around a little
bit. How does this lose? The Philadelphia Eagles at home against the R-Words.
Win.
The Seahawks at home against the Bengals. The Ravens in Miami. All the money line parlay, even money. How does that lose?
Fitzmagic is the only way that loses.
No way. No way.
Okay.
PFT is correct.
No way.
Fitzmagic always.
That cannot lose. It cannot lose.
And it's a bunch of guys like, oh, the team's given up.
Nope.
We've given up on the team. Like, fuck no. There's still 53 guys on this roster.
Cannot lose.
Their backs against the wall.
Yeah.
I am
Brian Flores is pissing off his team so much that they want to stick it to him by winning.
I'm going to put all $100,000 that Jared Goff gives us overnight as a joke on that parlay.
Speak for yourself, because my money line parlay is going to be the Eagles, the Seahawks, the Chargers, and the Saints.
Ooh, I don't know about the Chargers.
Here's the thing. You can't go wrong. You really can never truly lose a money line parlay on all the favorites.
It's never happened. All right. Speaking of Sunday, DirecTV. For over 20 years, DirecTV has been the exclusive home to NFL Sunday Ticket, the only way to get every live game every Sunday. And good news, NFL fans, DirecTV has expanded the service. If you live in an apartment or area where DirecTV service is not available, you can now get NFL Sunday Ticket without a satellite. To see if you're eligible, go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv and stream every NFL Sunday Ticket game this season to follow your favorite team no matter where you live. Use promo code Barstool19 at checkout to save 15%. package is also available for football fans living in areas where DirecTV service is not available. Watch every out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon, live on your favorite devices. Stream NFL Sunday Ticket live, no satellite required. Exclusive student discounts also available. Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Apple TV, Roku, Chromecast, all these places. NFLSundayTicket.tv. Use that promo code Barstool19. You get 15% off. You can watch all the games. Only way to spend Sunday watching all the games. Promo code Barstool19, NFLSundayTicket.tv. We also are brought to you, speaking of Sundays and having some fun, Hooters. Barstool Bets has launched with Hooters. Hooters provides the optimal football viewing experience for serious fans to watch all the games and have fun with the world-famous Hooters girls. John Gruden approved. Stop by your local Hooters every Monday night this football season for some Hooters Monday Night Moneyball. Answer a series of props for your chance to win Hooters food, swag, cash prizes, and even a trip to the big game come February. Get in on the action at HootersMoneyball.com. That's the best deal I've ever heard. HootersMoneyball.com. Go right now. Monday Night Football. HootersMoneyball.com. Go watch it at Hooters. Great wings, great drinks, great atmosphere. Everyone's very nice. John Gruden loves it. World famous Hooters. HootersMoneyball.com. Do it.
Hooters, everyone there is very nice. That's the best tagline.
Love it.
I've ever
love heard. You, Hooters. Thank you for being a sponsor of the show. Okay, here he is, Jerry Ferrara, a.k.a. Turtle. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is Jerry Ferrara. Do we introduce you as Turtle, or is that passed?
I mean, it's a judgment call on
okay.
your part.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm fine with it. If you think it's appropriate, then let's go with
good
it.
Good cop, bad cop. I can call you Turtle, and he can call you Jerry.
Well, this is the way
don't call him Turtle.
Don't call him Turtle.
And you guys fight.
Uh-huh. You used to have a podcast. I mean, you know the media world, like what I just did right there. It was actually genius because I introduced you as Turtle, but I made it seem like I was asking.
Of course, no. I saw everything that you just did okay. there, and this is why you are who you are.
Yeah, so you actually are here promoting... Power on Stars.
Yes.
So I was told that I need to ask what the hell Get the Strap means.
You've never heard of that?
I've heard it.
Like, I'm going to shoot you.
I don't know what it
As
is.
As a gun owner, I know it means I'm
Get the Strap.
Yeah.
That was a reference to, at one point, 50 on his Instagram.
50 Cent.
50 Cent would post some stuff that would actually be like the response, like, oh, this hat, like this guy fell and got into a street fight, like get the strap.
Get the
strap.
It
became a thing. It became a popular hashtag.
Got
I like it. Okay. Before we jump into all the career stuff and all that, I want to kind of thank you because you started Fat Sal's, right?
Yes,
that
I was
you?
A part. Yes, I was a part of that.
That yeah. is the ultimate hangover sandwich. I every time I used to drive by there, you had one in Austin on
Austin,
on
Texas.
Guadalupe.
That's right.
Yeah.
yeah,
and I'd be hungover as hell, and I'd drive past. I don't know what the rules are for what you're allowed to put in a sandwich. It's like if you gave Guy Fieri the Infinity Gauntlet and just said, like, load this shit up. But is there any ingredient, any appetizer ingredient you've never put on a sandwich there?
I think it's covered everything pretty much. I'm sure in the beginning that was the goal. It was supposed to be outrageous, kind of. Can you even, has anyone ever done that sort
like
of
buffalo
thing?
Wings and mozzarella sticks on a sandwich.
Pretty much, yeah.
Best way to wash away a hangover.
Exactly.
It's a little free ad there.
Throw
for
it all in yeah. there.
Appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to do the hardest question, though, first.
Oh, boy, okay.
Daniel Jones or Eli Manning? You are a diehard Knicks, Giants, Yankees fan.
Yes.
I mean, Eli won two Super Bowls.
You put me in the hot seat already. Okay, so I'm going to say Eli, and I'm sure there's going to be Giant fans listening. They're going to go, really, dude? I think you roll him out there and give a shot two reasons. One, I do think after the way he was benched 2 years ago, I think he deserves a chance.
Oh, no, we're going from 2 years now.
Yeah,
back.
No, he deserves a chance.
Let him go
that,
out
yeah.
properly.
Unfair.
And I also think that I don't know if you want to throw the rookie in right away.
That's a nice
so
way of
maybe
saying.
If they're 1-5, then you give the rookie the nod, get him in there. But I want to see Eli at one last shot. I know we cannot continue to hang on to 2011.
Yes.
Because now it was fun when it was like 2015. We were like,
8 years
4
ago.
Years ago.
Yeah, same team.
We're almost going on a decade.
Okay, so then follow-up question. How many times have you sat in Mr. Mara's suite?
Never once, actually.
Have you met him?
No, I have not.
Interesting.
Huh.
So
I have
how
not.
Did he get to you?
this is my own. These are my own thoughts. He
okay.
did not get to me.
What about this? Okay. What about you send Daniel Jones to Indy, get like T.Y. Hilton back, roll Eli out there for the next 5 years. Now he's got a receiver.
Do it.
Absolutely not. No, I don't. You're going long term, Eli.
Yeah,
that's a little
I think
bit
you can
different.
Build around Eli.
So you're at least willing to say that Eli, like, it's coming to an end.
Look, I'm 39 years old,
yeah,
and I am not an athlete, but when I go play pickup basketball, I it's just my brain knows what to do. My body doesn't know what to
right,
do.
Right, right.
So I can only imagine doing that at the pro level, but I do think he deserves a shot and see where he is after like five games.
What's your game like in pickup basketball?
Now,
yeah,
it's a little more Andre Miller with a good three.
Okay.
With a really good
three. So you just run like three-point line to three-point line, or are you getting dirty and trying to get some rebounds?
No, I don't want to get hurt anymore.
Okay.
I've gotten too many like seven stitches under my eye, this tooth knocked down.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm too small and old. Like,
okay.
I really just want to shoot threes and distribute the ball. I want to be the guy that's like, I like playing with that guy.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
teammate.
Do you at least call out picks when your teammate's about to get picked?
I always call
okay.
out picks.
All
because
right.
when you're my size and your teammate doesn't call out a pick
yeah.
and you get crushed and your neck snaps back, it's unpleasant.
I'd pick you to death.
Yeah.
If I threw a pick on you, he's
a big body.
Fucking body bag.
As long as my team's calling me out, though, I'm going to go right around you.
No, I don't
big
even
ass,
know if
man.
They can call
I'm going to go right around you.
Have you reached
out.
The point in your pickup life where you're the one that's setting unnecessary screens and just getting like waved off left and right?
Yeah, I don't set screens.
I know what type you are. I
try. I try to set screens, but they just look at me and they're like, well, no, we don't
they
need a
wave
screen
you out.
They're like, no,
yeah.
step away.
I know the type of pickup guy you are. If you're hitting your shot, I'm happy you're on my team. If you're not, I'm like, this fucking guy is not doing anything.
No, that's not entirely true, because I also will not shoot. If I miss my first two, I'm not shooting anymore.
Okay.
So
then you're really doing nothing.
No, I play D. I got fast feet and fast hands. I'm in the passing lanes a lot. I'm just not looking for
active
contact.
Hands, you Draymond?
You're a disruptor, yeah.
If there's contact involved, I am avoiding that. And I feel like I've earned that right.
Okay.
At 39
you're the
years
stuff
old.
That doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but at the end of the day,
intangibles.
Your team only loses by three
I
or four.
I love that we're breaking down my pickup.
Well, I mean, it's important. It tells a lot about a person.
Mm-hmm. It's important to me.
Yeah. How's Marky Mark as a pickup basketball player?
Wahlberg's a really good athlete. I don't know how much
yeah,
he
I know,
plays.
That was a very sneaky way to say he sucks at basketball.
No. I don't know how much he plays. I think he plays more golf than basketball
yep.
nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But the few times I've played with him, really, really fast lefty. So got
ooh,
that
that's
throwing you a different look
yep.
at with a lefty. So Mark's a good athlete.
Okay.
When you guys were doing Entourage, how hands-on was he actually like with the creation of the show and the storylines? Was he a guy that was like inserting little, you know, whispering in your ear, hey, maybe Vince should fuck this girl instead?
In the first couple of years, Mark was very much involved. The thing with him, though, is like obviously he has a lot going on, a lot on his plate, so it wasn't like he could take 4 months off and say, hey, I'm going to come hang out on the Entourage. I say he's doing like 9 movies a year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, but in the early years, to make sure we sort of got off to a good start, he was there a lot. And then he was kind of just always the presence. Like, you knew if you really had an issue or something. Like, he's a very, very good producer.
Did mm-hmm. he have a turtle in his crew?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of based off of that. It's based off of that theory. I mean, he does have there was an actual Johnny Drama.
Okay.
Like, his name is Johnny Drama.
Really?
That's a real, that comes from a real guy. He
so
was like
Entourage,
a trainer at
Entourage
one point.
Entourage based on a true story?
Loosely.
You could say that.
I mean, there's no person that it's like, oh, we're using this guy's exact life.
Yeah.
But it was based on Wahlberg and his crew at a time where he was ascending to fame.
Okay.
And were they in the first episode of Entourage?
Yeah, so there's a scene, this is a long-ass time ago, there's a scene in the pilot episode of Entourage where we're walking on the Warner Brothers lot and Wahlberg crosses us and he's with the real Johnny Drama's there, his E.
His turtle.
I don't know if because the whole who's turtle, there's been like 7 guys who have claimed that their turtle's based on them.
Right.
So I don't know actually who...
That's such a turtle move.
Exactly.
For a bunch of people to be like, I'm turtle.
But we kind of walk past each other and he talks some shit to us in the pilot. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that was his first appearance on the show.
Was there ever a moment... I mean, it was one of those shows where I remember vividly watching the pilot and being like, what the hell is this? This is awesome. And was there a moment where you're like, this is a huge, huge hit and just kind of soaking it all in? Or were you just... Because this also was your breakout.
For sure.
So it's got to be a weird feeling. Like, at what point does it become real? This is my life now? And or does it, like, you just kind of hop on the roller coaster and let it run?
So the first season was successful in the right that there was... it got nominated for some awards, but it was not a ratings blockbuster by any stretch. I think if we were actually on any other network, we may have gotten canceled because the numbers were like okay.
Right.
But HBO really tries to give you a chance to develop or whatever. So it wasn't until like midway through season 2, because this is how long ago it's been. This was like the inception of TiVo on demand.
Uh-huh.
So while people didn't watch in the moment, a year went in between seasons, they watched on that downtime. So when we came back into season two, we had gained, I don't know how many new watchers, but all via on demand and TiVo and stuff. So yeah, it was weird because the numbers weren't great. But then we came into like midway through season two, I think it was when we did the Vegas episode, where there's like a fight with Seth Green's character. We started having like people trying to like get on the set and we're trying to like watch. It's like, wow, there's actually people watching this thing.
Yeah, when you see the HBO screen kind of fade to black after that static, do you still hear the Entourage theme song?
There is a little bit of it being ingrained in my brain for sure, yeah. But no, if anything, I'm more here other shows.
Like
other
Curb?
Yeah, Sopranos. Exactly. Yeah. There Sopranos. You go.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So there was like a ton of cameos, obviously, in Entourage. Some crazy guys, some people like athletes everywhere. What was the one guy that you were like, holy shit, this person's real, starstruck, even though you are now a star yourself?
I hate, this is going to really pain me to even say this, but it was really cool when Tom Brady did a cameo.
Yeah.
And it was just coming off 2011, so not that
did
long
you talk
after.
Shit to him?
Well, in the episode, I do.
Right, but in I'm talking real life.
No, because it's not us. I just didn't need. I just didn't feel like. It was, also, he was that was the year after he had just gotten hurt in game one, so he had missed that whole year, and it was the summer going into that following season. So he hadn't played football in almost a full year, and he came on, and I wanted to try to find like what's up with this guy. He can't. There's no way he's gonna be like a cool guy. And not only was he a super cool guy, you could always tell like everybody how people are, especially like the crew. He was real generous with the crew.
Yeah.
Showed up on time, knew his lines, was good on screen. It was a golf episode, so it was also 6 o'clock in the morning. Guy got up and hit like a 300-yard drive, which was super annoying.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, no, he's real. This is like it's not all. He's a good dude.
So who is the worst of the crew? Name names.
Honestly, I've really not seen.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not being protective. I have not seen anyone come on. Because when you're getting the cameos, right, like, for the most part, they want to be there. There was a time early on, like, season one, we couldn't get cameos because people were like, what show is this? I'm playing myself? No, people didn't want to play themselves.
Right.
It started to change around season three, the more we became slightly more popular. And then usually when people came on to do a cameo, they wanted to be there, so they came into it with a good attitude.
What about Kanye West?
Awesome. He was phenomenal. He came in. He and that episode is some people really enjoy that episode from the way, and he debuted the song Good Life at the end of that episode. So that was like a cool, not only was he playing himself, but he had a new song coming out. I think it was like one of the first times they used that as a platform to like launch a song, if memory serves me correct.
And no, that's a great song. Yeah, that counts. Yeah.
What about Lamar Odom?
Ooh.
Lamar Odom was on.
You go to the Bunny Ranch with him?
I'm just trying to. Oh, yeah, okay.
Season yeah, you're two. Forgetting that this is actually smart of you to be like, I forgot.
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
You were probably taking all those like weird herbal Viagras.
Lamar
with
Odom doesn't ring a bell.
Totally no, I'm telling you, this was 2005. Let me ask you about some stuff that happened
in
2005.
No idea.
Exactly.
No idea. I was probably watching Lamar Odom in a college apartment.
The Odom stuff was cool because that was directly after us shooting at a Laker game, which we shot at a real Laker game in courtside seats, so that was just an awesome day in general as a huge basketball fan.
Right.
With Tom Brady, you should have just said that you were like method acting and you were always in character and just talk shit to him the entire time he was on set.
Well, what are you gonna
I'm like
talk?
De Niro.
What am I going to say?
He just won a Super Bowl against him.
Okay, that
like,
was
we got
3 years ago.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
And all right, yes, I'm sure he's super bummed that he lost that Super Bowl, but he's not like he doesn't have a shortage of rings there.
Yeah. What about Gary Busey?
Gary,
future guest of the show.
Yes.
Is he coming on?
Well, I helped him. He had a little tangle with SeaWorld on Twitter, so I intervened and said, I'll face fuck.
You came to his
SeaWorld,
rescue.
SeaWorld, and then he followed me. I was like, hey, you want to come on? He's like, yeah.
You should definitely have Busey.
Yeah, we're going to.
He's one of the more quotable people I've ever met. I remember when he first came on, I think he said to our show creator, Doug Allen, like, I'm not going to give you your words. Because nobody could write Gary Busey like Gary Busey. It's going to give you me. And we were like, let's
do
go.
Do it. Let's go.
And that's exactly what Gary did.
Full
and
Busey.
And he nailed it?
Yes.
Was there anyone that was like difficult to work with at all?
No, man. I got to say, like as far as cameos, like I said, people wanted to be there. I mean, No, I mean, certainly people had bad days here or there where they were just tired, but I've never walked away saying, like, oh, that person's really difficult.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, they're there to help your show. You're there to help them. So there's probably, like, a lot of synergy.
And, like,
going
come on, look, it should be taken seriously, but also, let's not, oh, like, what are we doing here? We're trying to entertain people. Let's not, we're not solving real world problems here.
Sure.
If you have a bad attitude, that's on you.
Okay, so these Entourage questions are probably annoying you. So this is my last Entourage question.
We're good.
What is the most annoying thing that fans say to you when they see you on the street?
There was a world early on when people genuinely believed that Entourage was real and like thought
you're saying it's not?
It is.
So fuck, you dude. Might have came up to me like 2000, circa 2006, and you actually thought we all lived together.
Yeah,
that was always like, it would be like, Turo, where's Vince? And I'm like, he's at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say? How far do you want to play that? And how? So that was always really.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably also got offered a shitload of weed.
There's been many blunt that I've said no to. Uh-huh. If for nothing else.
I don't know where that came from. Yeah,
but
right.
Also, do we know what's really in it?
True.
No.
Good point.
Come on.
I hate that when drug dealers give me more expensive drugs.
Yeah. The disappointment when I turn down a joint or a blunt or even a drink from someone.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
Yeah.
You're not going to smoke?
I know.
No,
yeah,
man.
Usually if somebody offers us two drinks, I just take Big Cats because you know he's not going to drink.
I just am like, I don't do shots. Right. I swore off shots in like 2014 because of that reason.
What good happens?
Nothing.
Nothing good.
Yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one more Entourage-related question.
Sure.
What is your Medellin?
Ooh.
What do you want to do that's like your big project, your passion that you have? That you want to get off the ground.
See the Knicks win a playoff game.
Oh, let's not. This is realistic that we're talking about here.
There is one that I just am now. I'm officially too old and out of shape. I always wanted to make the Arturo Gatti movie. I was a huge Arturo Gatti movie. There's been a ton of stuff, obviously, about Mickey Ward. Arturo Gatti died really young and tragically. And there was a world where I had some rights to do that, but time has gone on, and I'm just too old and out of shape, and I don't know if I'm willing to be like 6 months of hard work like Michael B. Jordan and like Creed. I don't know if I'm willing to do all that at
this
point.
Check.
Yeah, I don't think that check will be there.
Okay,
so,
we'll get it going. Let's get it going.
Passion projects don't often generate the big checks.
That's true. You got to do your Aquaman.
Again.
So what's your Aquaman that's gonna fund your Medellin?
I did have someone, I don't know who said this to me. We were talking about superhero stuff, and I was like, well, I'm never going to be mistaken for a superhero. And they're like,
you never know.
Robin, maybe.
Dude, yeah.
I guess Robin
the Avengers,
is the
I mean,
only...
they go, there's like B-Man or Ant-Man or whatever the fuck it is.
It's cast. Paul Rudd's
I know, but
well
I'm
established.
Saying, like, they've got nerd characters.
What's his name? Jimmy Olsen, the photographer from the Superman movies.
Yeah.
You could be him.
But is he really a superhero?
Maybe in the second one.
That would defy the comic books.
He gets some runoff.
I think they would have to really change some stuff in the Spider-Man universe.
That must be so sweet, though, if you do get a gig where you're playing an athlete and you just get paid to lose a shitload of weight and get into the best shape of your life. That's like my dream, honestly.
Yeah, I think I don't know what athlete I'm playing at this, first of all, ever, physically, but then now, certainly at this point in my life, I don't know what athlete I'm ever playing.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the Knicks, going back to them, are you a Knicks fan that speaks honestly or a Knicks fan that still wants courtside tickets so that you, like, sit on Dolan's lap?
I speak honestly.
Okay, so go.
What do you ask?
They stink, and they screw everything up. And they didn't even take a meeting with Kevin Durant. And James Dolan's ruining the franchise.
And his band sucks.
None of
you
those
told us to speak honestly. We don't give a fuck.
No,
about
I was more asking what's the question. Like,
go ahead. Speak honestly.
It's like a writing prompt.
Like of what to expect coming into 2019-20?
Well, I mean,
what do
you
think,
expect anything.
Just what do you think about the franchise? How much of what Big Cat and I just said do you agree with 100%?
I don't even remember what I mean. He said nine things.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Will
they
all count?
Will the Knicks make an Eastern Conference Finals in your lifetime?
See, now you're just straight up trolling. Yes, I'm going to say yes. Okay. If you think I'm being too optimistic about that, then hopefully, I mean, how long are you planning on living? I'm planning
Let's
on living a long time.
Okay.
If you get the Gotti movie, then you get in great shape. You add another 10 years
on. There you go.
Maybe you'll finally get there.
There you go. We were in the second round
Second round, yeah, that's true.
That's one round away from the Eastern Conference
Finals.
That
is true. Huh? That's good. I'm surprised that Knicks fans know how the playoffs work.
Steve Novak.
Yeah.
Discount double check.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Melo. Do you think the Knicks should bring back Melo for a little farewell tour?
I mean, I don't. I don't even. Would he want to come back to the
Knicks? I think Melo wants to play with anyone who will have him.
I don't know. I think he probably wants to play for a team that has a legit shot at.
Will they have him though? Probably
getting,
not.
Getting to a title or the Eastern or Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Were you all in on, like, did you do the memes like the Zion, Kyrie, Kevin Durant?
Dude, shit. I was really trying to convince my wife because we just had a baby 4 months ago. Like, we should name this kid Zion.
Congrats.
The conversation didn't really advance too far past that, and fortunately enough, because the lottery ping pong balls did not bounce our way. So, yeah.
So you named him RJ?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I named him Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah.
What is the highlight of your life as a Knicks fan? And you're not allowed to say any of the Ewing years. Those don't count.
Damn.
The modern
There's
Knicks.
Nothing.
The highlight of my Knicks fandom post-Ewing era.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back to eliminating the Celtics, I guess, in that, I guess it was 2013.
Okay.
Getting out of the first round.
First round, okay. Yeah.
And I mean, unless we want to start talking, Linsanity was fun.
Like, oh, those 2 weeks.
Oh, Linsanity was the
best. That was a great 2 weeks.
That was an awesome two
but
weeks.
But it really was.
Yes. Yeah.
During Linsanity, was there a moment that crept into you where you're like, this is the truth, we are contenders now?
I think that always happens to Knicks fans. Anytime anything positive happens, even remotely, a glimmer, we then say, oh, no, this is it. We're on the way up. We're on the come up. It's happening.
So you lost a lot of weight.
I did. Slowly coming back.
Well, no, it's not. Come on. You look great. I yo-yo with my weight, and a lot of times people say that if I lost a lot of weight, which I don't think I ever will be able to, that I would be less funny. Did you deal with that?
Yes.
How did you overcome that? And you're like, I'm just going to be a fucking fitspo.
No, I just was. First of all, I never think I was particularly funny to begin with. So I don't think our.
Nice self deprecation.
Yeah, that was a way to go.
There you go.
That
was
certainly
good.
A way to go. But I just didn't really understand how, I guess, if I'm smaller in proportion, I'm less funny. I think you're either funny or you're not.
Well, it was tough because it's obviously the character. I guess the evolution of the character changed too, like where you became, you know, you were the driver smoking weed, playing video games, and then you became a millionaire.
I'll tell you what has happened though, doing Power for 5 years, which is a cable drama as opposed to a comedy. I have gotten in the last couple of years for other jobs, like, can you do comedy?
Right.
Like, you're kind of only looking at the current thing and not going back in the files. Like, I mean, I have.
Right.
Done comedy, so I'm going to say yeah, but they look at Power, it's like, that's a gritty kind of cable drama. Does he do comedy? It's like,
yeah. I expect that, like, Chris Pratt probably deals with something like that nowadays, where he's, like, so known for being a superhero and he's in shape now. It's like, hey,
he's a hilarious
dude. Are you able to be the funny guy still?
Right.
Like, but I do think that he's one case. Maybe Seth Rogen is another, where they lost weight, and for whatever reason, they're less funny to me. I don't know if that's fair.
Seth Rogen's less funny to you?
That's probably,
really?
It probably Jonah says Hill. More about me than I'm like, oh, I wish that guy was chubby so I could laugh at him. Like, I think that's probably more about me than it
I
is
think
about
so.
Him.
He's
think
a
so.
Chubby chaser, too.
Yeah, I do love chubby. I mean,
literally
look
all of
teamed
his friends
up with
look
here.
Exactly
understood.
Like me.
Understood.
Yeah. it's crazy. He has this podcast from guys in Austin. They all came up, and they, like, I was staring in the mirror.
Yeah, more Christmas like, for the
hell is
bunch
going
of you,
on right
just
here.
A bunch
yeah.
of...
Just like, more
what
you guys
going on
love,
around
man?
Here.
What can I say?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Do you... This is a technical question, acting side. Did you reach a point where you don't have to try out for roles anymore? You just get them?
No.
Is that
no.
something that happens?
Yeah.
So,
yes.
like, the big guys...
Yeah, yes. It's called offer only. You're an offer only.
That's... See, I didn't know that existed. That's a great phrase.
Yeah.
I'm an offer only guy. I'm an offer only guy.
Exactly.
I only take the offers.
There's a point you reach in your career where whatever your level of talent or fame has gotten to where you're not auditioning unless there's a rare occasion where it's like something that you're so different and outside the box for that particular character, you may have to go in. But like Chris Pratt, I'm sure, is not going into the audition room anytime.
He's
soon.
Offer only.
Exactly.
Right.
So what is the role you auditioned for that maybe the world doesn't know about that we can break some news? You would have played Tony Stark.
No, again, not
he died. Spoiler.
Yeah, not playing a superhero anytime soon.
Okay.
I don't know if I really have one that's like, oh wow, you didn't get that,
or
meaning
one
like
that
wanted. I was actually in consideration.
Yeah, one that you auditioned for, and you're like, this would have been awesome if I got this.
There's actually a show coming out that I'm not going to speak about because I'm not a part of it, and I don't know where they're at with it, but I think it's going to do well, and I was up for a part in it, and I auditioned and obviously did not get it, but I think that one's actually going to do.
That's so cryptic.
Can you just give us like a description of the character, like a little bit, so that when it comes out, we're like, that's what he's talking about.
All right, so there's a couch, a black couch, and a camera.
you're describing the audition room.
Uh-huh. The casting couch.
How bad do you want this
role?
Well,
let me just tell you, nowadays, you barely even go into an audition room anymore. You make a self-tape at home, and you send like a Vimeo link.
Really?
That's it. Yeah.
I don't like that.
So maybe that's, I don't like it either.
Wait, so maybe that's the next, like, someone hacks all the Vimeo links instead of the iClouds.
And then
we get
out
just all the shitty auditions.
Embarrassing. Yeah, I like that.
Whoa. I'm sure someone's working at home feverishly trying to figure out. But yeah, I mean, I think it's now maybe only 10% of the time that if I get an audition, I'm actually going in the room and meeting the people. And
I feel like
crazy getting over here. A lot
give
of traffic.
It to me again. Yeah. Give it to me a different way. Right. Do they see that?
No. Yeah, usually. Or they give you a note and they say, try it and do that. Or because I think also the worst is if you don't get any notes, if you do your audition, they're like, thank you.
You know it's done. Yeah, you're saving some time.
That was great. And you walk out like, son of a fuck, that was
that
the opposite of great.
Yeah.
I've always heard that on set, if you if a director's like giving you little notes or something like that, they never say the line the way they want to hear it. They give you like kind of a roundabout instruction for motivation instead of like saying something and asking you to copy it. Is that true?
Right, because it's called another, if we're going to get fancy terms here.
A
line reading, that's called, right? Okay. So if the line is like, do me a favor, pass that water. That's the line, right?
Oh, that was so convincing. You're acting.
It was so convincing.
That was good.
Thinking of, if someone comes up to you and says, say it like this, do me a favor, go get me that water. Like, you're trying to mimic something is a little, it just gets stuck in your head. It's the only way you'll ever be able to do it. So I think people try to not do, line readings aren't always appreciated.
Yeah, you'd be insulted if a director.
Not insulted, just like, all right, that's fun. I'm just going to be a robot and give it to you exactly the way you want.
Right. All right, give me this line. I don't know about the afterlife, but this life is sweet.
Never heard that.
That's the corniest line ever. I just looked at
it's also from 12 years ago. Again, I repeat. No, maybe longer.
Fuck the fucking Mercedes, Vince. What are you, a soccer mom?
14 years ago, you've gone back. Okay, so let's try to see what you were saying 14 years ago.
No, you're right. You're right. I want to talk about video games real quick.
Please.
So you're passionate about video games.
Hell yeah.
Do you own a team?
No.
Oh, I do. Sorry.
I wish I did. You own a team?
Yeah, it's some team in New Zealand. I actually don't know the name of it.
I can't tell if you're
I'm being dead serious.
What E-sports. Do they compete in? What game?
Fuck if I
computer
know.
Games.
Are you making money off
no,
this venture?
I know. So none of my
just,
ventures
would you just
make
wire
money.
Someone money
correct.
In New Zealand and yep. now you own the game. I got one for you too if you'd like to invest.
Okay, I'm in.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll give you my routing number.
But yeah, how did you get into video games? Like what do you actually do day to day in the video game community?
So, I mean, I've just always been a gamer since I was a kid. I actually help with the Knicks gaming team, which is a team in the
there's
NBA 2K league.
That's why you
not really.
Say
I mean,
that.
Mm-hmm. So they Mars started. The do you know Dolans. The game 2K?
Yeah.
There's a professional NBA 2K league team with 21 real NBA franchises that have a team in it, and I've been the scout and consultant for the Knicks gaming team.
You're
scout.
Scout.
Yeah.
Is there like a rift in the e-gaming scouting community between analytics and manalytics where you're like, I just like that guy's grit?
No, there's no rift. You really analytics are a huge part.
How do you look at a guy playing video games and be like, I like his thumbs?
See, again, I mean, if you want to go down this road, that is just not the way to think about it. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes, you're analyzing his, like, hand-eye
dexterity.
Coordination.
Uh-huh.
But it's really just more, you got to just look at it like traditional basketball. What are his numbers? You look at stuff like how he operates in the pick and roll, his true shooting efficiency, stuff like that. Those are real analytics that you look at.
So you're monitoring the actual gameplay, not so much the person.
No, but then you do a whole interview process with the actual person to see a little bit more about what type of guy or girl they are.
Got it. So what is your favorite game of all time? Like, what was your go-to game? Have you always been a sports
game?
Well,
as a kid, it was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Okay.
007-373-5963
is
the code to get up to Mike Tyson. as I got a little bit older and gaming got better, I mean, obviously Madden was a huge game. Halo. And then I really kind of settled in on Call of Duty was
hell yes.
Modern Warfare 1.
Okay, what about
legit.
The most recent one? That one was awesome.
Blackout 4?
Oh,
you're talking about Modern
Warfare? Yeah.
The new one coming which the beta is out for now, or maybe the alpha. It's coming at the end of October. That's Modern Warfare 4. That's going to be the one.
Do you game online with everyone?
Sure. I stream on Twitch. You want to squad up? Let's go.
I'll squad up with you.
Anytime, dude.
Dude, I love squatting up.
We're going to get dubs or what? We're going to win?
I'm more of a grab a shotgun and just run up on people and shoot them as fast as I can and then die. But I'm in for whatever.
Listen, man, I will support you.
Yeah, you need one wild card, right?
I will support. Yes, you do. They often can win you games.
They just, I usually, if you look at my stats, I'm usually like, I get killed 25 times and I get 10 kills.
So you're kill death, you're like a -1.5.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm just running around getting smoked.
We'll have to get some other players to help us. Okay. They're called the carry. We might need a couple of carries.
That's really a term?
Yeah, like guys who are really good that carry you to victory because we
suck. So that's
suck.
What they've been saying to me when they mute me on the...
They're like, oh, we got to carry
this guy. We got to carry him again. Okay, yeah, because I always get in the lobby and then everyone leaves.
Hey guys, we're really good. Hello?
Gotta go.
Hello?
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm all alone.
How close are you to becoming a professional gamer? Do you just want to stay on the scouting side?
I'm not. First of all, I don't have enough time to commit to actually become good enough to ever be a pro because it is a huge time commitment. And I really do think something happens to hand-eye coordination at a certain age.
Yeah.
So I'm out.
Interesting. Is there an Adderall problem in e-gaming?
Not that I've seen, no.
Shit. I'm always trying to uncover some kind of scandal.
Also, here you go. Wait, I'm going to give you a hot tip. Hot tip. Esports.
Yeah. Esports, sorry.
Already own a team.
Yeah.
That's what I say. E-gaming, you're going to be like, this guy does not know the first thing about e-gaming.
I very clearly don't. What about bottled oxygen? I've seen some guys like putting up to their nose in the middle of games.
I've never seen it. If it works, I've never seen that before.
You're like a pre-Mitchell report scout, where you're like, I don't know why these guys are hitting home runs.
But also, like, I don't know if you're, I don't know if you like proudly announce. Is that something you'd be broadcasting?
No, probably not.
Right?
They'll
leave a bottle of Andro in their locker afterwards, and then reporters will find that and be like, that's what it is.
The now Senate, we're going, 1997.
The Senate's committee is going to, like, you know, do a FOIA on your emails, and you're going to be like, I don't know why Eric Gagne is saving all these games.
By the way, you guys have some dope dated references. You may keep it. Yeah. Eric Gagne.
Yeah, we're just kind of finished at, like, 2008.
Yeah.
So
if you learn anything past the age of 30, you're a sucker.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
That's
huge.
What
have you learned that's useful past the age of 30?
Only stuff that's really pertaining to like marriage and family and that stuff, because I was never married or had a kid before. So the last 5 years I've learned a lot on that level. Yeah.
Okay. I guess that's one flaw in my argument.
I'm a dad too, so I just had a kid.
I've had sex.
How
he's 10 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
And you're awake.
Yeah.
Barely, I'm sure.
He's actually already sleeping through the night. No big deal.
You're lying.
He's a fucking chill-ass baby.
So he's a big kid.
No, he's just a chill-ass baby. I don't know. He just chills.
And he's sleeping through the night already.
Yep. How you like me now?
I'm just, that is like.
We give him drugs every night to make sure he falls asleep. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's that whole thing.
You have to. Plus, he takes bottled oxygen before the show.
Why did you choose not to vaccinate your kids?
Good question.
He's actually started a rumor that I didn't vaccinate.
Well, you call it a rumor, but if it gets repeated enough, it becomes truth.
But no, you're in the Hollywood.
Why did you start that rumor?
Just because he just wanted to fuck with
me. I was bored and wanted to fuck with Big Cat.
Did that catch on?
90% of the stuff that we do comes from that place.
Yeah, a few people were like, what the hell, dude? But you're in the Hollywood circle, so I'm sure you've had some people be like, hey, Jerry, what are you doing? Vaccinating your kid.
I'm not I mean,
also, you live in Williamsburg, so that's like ground zero for unvaccinated children at this point.
I have not caught all of what you're talking. Is it?
Yeah.
People go door to door with flyers saying very like, religious, don't vaccinate
Jews, which I can say as well because
they go door to door with flyers.
Yeah, saying like, do not vaccinate your children.
Yeah,
dead serious.
And that's effective.
We've gotten into a really
Williamsburg. It is.
We're in a swamp right now. I don't know how to get out of this part. Of
I'll get out of it. Vaccinate your kids and spay and neuter your pets.
Power.
Let's talk about power. Power on stars.
It's a great segue.
Yeah, guys. that was like the Grateful Dead drums section where everyone took a piss. They're like, what's going on? We're gonna take a break from this.
I went to one of their shows one time, and they had a wolf sound effect howling in the middle of the drum solo. It was really trippy. But so that's
everyone
what we're doing
leaves.
Right now. But we're talking about power. So power, put in the wolf sound effect.
Yeah.
tell me why you decided to start with a show, what's been good about it, what you like, and what we have to expect from it.
What was the first part of that? Why I started
with it? Yeah, what drew you to this project?
What drew me to the project was I was a fan of the show in season one. I almost was working on it in season one. It didn't schedule-wise work out. The woman who created the show, Courtney Kemp, told me, I'm gonna write something for you next year, and I hope you want to do it. It's going to be good. And I've heard that quite a few times in my career, and that never really ever becomes anything. And she actually did it. Called me a year later. I was like, I wrote this character. He's the criminal defense attorney, and it's going somewhere. She pitched me a whole bunch of stuff that's happening in future seasons, and she did not only everything that she said she was going to do, but more. I've been on the show for 5 years. It started off as a smaller character, and it kept growing year over year.
Is that rare in Hollywood or in TV production or film production where somebody will actually follow through on something that they promise you?
I mean, I think everybody means well. I think when they say it, but it's almost like overextending, or maybe they don't even have the authority to do what they said they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. In this case, she did. She was the boss, so... I mean, yeah, I've definitely had people say, we should work together. I'm going to write something for you. And it's like, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you ever have anybody come up to you and they're like, I know you from somewhere. Sully. You were in Sully.
Not that one. Because that's like a blink. If you blink, you miss me kind of thing. I love those interactions where it's like, I know you from somewhere. Have we met before? I'm like, I don't think so. And they're like, wait, you're an actor. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. What do I know you from? I'm like,
Let's do
the IMDb thing. Yeah, all right. Entourage. No. Okay. Power. What's Power? No. All right. I'm running out of projects. Mm-hmm. Think Like a Man. And then they do pull out something random, like King of Queens, 2001. I'm like, yes, I did 3 episodes of King of Queens. But
what's the residual on that?
Oddly enough, I just got one like a week ago for like $67.
That's pretty
still
good.
Hanging strong.
I'm obsessed with residuals. I need to get a residual. Bad.
Should we get one from ESPN?
I mean, we should get something that just shows up every, what is it?
Mailbox
every month?
Money. Yeah, every month there's a residual cycle.
Fuck.
That's nice. Awesome. We got to get on
All right, my last question. So check out Power. Just actually, season 6 just debuted.
It just debuted last Sunday.
Yeah, so check it out on Stars. My last question, SeatGeek question, promo code TAKE. Use it. You get $10 off SeatGeek purchase. We made fun of you for the Knicks. We made fun of you for the Giants. Yes. So... are the Yankees going to win the World Series?
I really think they are. This feels
no
real.
Pitching, though.
Yes, but also have bounced back from situations where you, like, obviously the Boston massacre. Everybody thought that happened in July. We mm-hmm. bounced back strong from that. I think it's real. I feel like in a couple of years past, last 2-3 years, we've been optimistic. We weren't quite there. I feel like we're there.
Do you trust Aaron Boone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do, and not that we have a choice, but yeah,
yeah.
We do.
Well, and okay, last question: Aaron Judge, does he have his pinstripes?
What do you mean? Does he have like he's
has he earned them?
Has
yeah,
he
yeah.
The pinstripes?
You know what I mean?
I mean, I think so. I think he's still. I mean, he's young. I think this is going to be a perfect
like a no.
moment.
Yeah, that sounds like a no.
What I mean is playoff basketball is where you're
baseball yeah,
is where you're in pinstripes. I think this is going to be a huge stage for him.
So not he has not yeah. earned his pinstripes yet to earn his pinstripes.
Well on his way. Well on his
he's
way.
He's on his way to earning pinstripes.
Does Stanton have pinstripes?
No.
Okay.
Definitely
not.
Does anybody on the team have pinstripes?
Gardner.
Okay.
CC's
got
sure.
pinstripes. They're slimming on him.
I think DD could be well on his way.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's a young team. It's hard to give out pinstripes for young guys.
Uh-huh. That's true.
You know.
Do you have how does it work? Is there like a committee of Yankee fans that decide the pinstripes?
If there is, I am not a part of said committee.
So,
so
you can't talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like some
club.
Underground.
Yeah. I got you. You're winking at me right now.
What about Brian Cashman? How come he always finds himself in these like weird situations every month where he's like getting arrested?
That shit was weird.
Yes, it was.
Right?
Yes, it was.
Because his car got stolen.
And
but
he was going to retrieve his own car without the police involved.
I don't even know how that happened.
You're doing good. You're doing good as an inside member of the council.
God
not
damn it.
Not letting
good.
Anything out of house.
The diversion worked.
Yes,
the Cashman diversion worked.
All right. Well, Jerry, thank you so much. Appreciate you stopping by. Check out Power on Stars. Debuted last week, season 6. Watch it because you're a great actor.
I look forward to seeing you on the pickup basketball court one day, friend.
Dude, I actually have a run if you want to come.
I would love to come.
No, seriously.
I'm dead serious. I play
serious.
3-4 times a week. Let's go.
Saturday mornings.
Okay.
Can you do Saturday mornings?
Yeah.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. You're in.
Don't set no hard picks.
Nope.
No, you're good. You're perfect. It's a really shitty player, so you'll fit in well.
All right, sweet. Can anyone shoot?
Yeah, there's a couple.
All right.
Oh. I'm more of a carrier.
You're a carrier.
Just call back.
That interview with Jerry Ferrara was brought to you by Movement. Let me ask you guys something. How much time do you spend in front of your digital screens? For me, I know I spend hours at a time looking at my screens. Actually, I refuse to look at my time spent looking at phone app that you have on the iPhone. I just don't want to know. I know it's too long, and between my phone, my work, binging new shows, video games, scrolling right before bed, scrolling right when I wake up in the morning. That's why I started wearing Movement's iScroll blue light filtering glasses. When I'm not wearing my shades, I'm wearing my blue light filtering glasses at my computer. That's a promise. They're built to protect your eyes from blue light. It's known to cause eye strain, discomfort, and poor sleeping patterns. There's tons of known potential benefits of wearing these blue light glasses. I love them. They reduce headaches for me. They elevate my mood. I get sounder sleep. It lowers stress hormones. It improves focus and mental clarity, and it sharpens vision. Hank's been wearing them occasionally at his computer. Let me just say, Hank, you look sophisticated when you wear them. You look like you're calm, controlled, and you've collected all your thoughts. You don't seem like you have stress hormones. You look good when you wear them.
I was actually just thinking about how I wish I was wearing them now, because I've been looking at my computer screen all day, and my eyes are a little dry, and I wish I had been wearing my glasses.
Mm-hmm. You look awesome when you wear them. They look just like regular glasses. There's no yellow tint lenses like you find on other blue light blockers. You can pick from round frames, clear frames, colored frames, etc. Movement selection is always expanding with new, traditional, and fashion-forward styles that you can choose from. The average person spends almost 7 hours a day in front of a screen. That would actually be great for me if I could cut down to 7 hours at some point. But that's still a lot of hours to spend there. If you're going to be looking at a screen all day, use Movement's blue light glasses. It's going to help you change your habits so that you can keep up with the changing technological world. And these Everscroll blue light filtering glasses start at just $65. Again, they're clear lenses. It's not like they're blue lenses, but they filter out all the blue light. Whether you're at the office scrolling through your phone or unwinding from a long day, Everscroll glasses have you covered. Better focus, better sleep, better style. Get 15% off today, free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/pardon. That's mvmt.com/pardon. The interview is also brought to you by Roman Swipes. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer. I like to think about Mr. and Mrs. Met just getting it on. That usually helps me, but it doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, they're changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, they're easy to use, fast acting, but they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. Swipes are great. They're not going to transfer to your partner, so you can last longer without worrying about that. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. When you go to GetRoman.com/take, you can get your first month of swipes for just $5. When you choose a monthly plan, that's using the link GetRoman.com/take.
All right, let's get to some segments. Whoa.
Is the cow okay?
What happened?
Sorry, like a
is that the cow that fell down moves? And now Big Cat has to kill it?
Breaking moves.
Federer lost.
Oh, the goat!
My goat.
No! I'm going to troll tweet this right now.
That
live
sucks.
Live turn. Okay, hold on.
You know what?
Do this.
Plus
what
1,000.
Should I add Hubs or not at Hubs? The big question.
Subbing is more of a troll move.
It is more of a troll move, yeah. He must have used Roman Swipes
Federer
because he lasted longer than Djokovic, at least.
As a minus 1,000. Favorite
minus 1,000. The dude that won was plus 1,000.
Hank, is this true?
Hank, did he retire or did he lose?
He just lost.
Huh, interesting.
Straight up.
So he didn't quit.
No, he didn't battle an injury like Djokovic did.
He didn't quit.
The
he
Joker
quit, and he probably was playing with subpar balls because Doug Gottlieb stole all of them last night.
Okay, I just heard Federer lost as a minus 1,000 favorite. Is this true? There we go. We'll let that one out there. That's one of those tweets you tweet. And then, like, 2 hours later, I'll go to my mentions and be like, why the fuck are people talking tennis? And I forgot that I tweeted it.
You just can't admit that Djokovic is the GOAT is a bad take and squatting on it.
Let me ask you this. What is Nadal and Federer's record against Djokovic the last 9 times they faced? 1-8 is the answer.
Federer's
1-8.
Federer's also like 15 years older.
Even Hank's laughing at that.
20 years older.
1-8.
Federer's
a bum.
Federer's the best
Djokovic
player.
Djokovic is the best.
I can't believe you trolled me into caring about tennis But here we are. And
power.
Roger Federer is the GOAT.
I hate to say this, but Novak's got two slams in 2019. Oh, Federer has none.
Of course he does.
So he's better right now.
He's the GOAT.
He's better right now.
He's the GOAT. All right. And he beat him in Wimbledon. No big deal. Okay, so power rankings. Power rankings. A.K.A. Pete Prisco's a fucking idiot.
Yep, that's our segment. Prisco loves to troll with his preseason power rankings.
No, bigger troll than putting the Packers as number one.
Except, here's the thing about Prisco. He genuinely believes all of his shitty opinions are good.
Right.
Which is why we kind of respect him on this show.
But so are you saying he's trolling, or that's the question?
No, he genuinely believes that he's smarter than everyone else and that he watches things that nobody else can see.
So
he thinks like he has an advanced set of eyes that can pick up on things on tape that nobody else sees.
So he just went into this blind. These were his power rankings. He wasn't like, this is going to get a rise out
correct.
Of you folks.
Power. Which so we're going to power kind of. Rank. We're going to do a shitty power rankings of Pete Prisco's power rankings. We'll go back and forth. We'll do five. I'll start with number one. The Green Bay Packers being number one.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make the playoffs last year.
That's fine.
They didn't make the playoffs last year. This is like putting them. No, I'm not. You know what? I'm not going to say what. I've been getting a lot of people saying, hey, Big Cat, why do you hate Nebraska? Why do you always go after Nebraska? I wasn't going to say that Nebraska went 4-8 last year and then somehow was in the top 25 this year. I wasn't going to say it.
They won four out of their last five.
I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going
to
say it.
According to Pete, the Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers relationship will be fine. So first reported by Pete
Audibles,
Prisco.
Who's it'll be calling fine. Him?
Audiblegate is my latest new scandal.
Who's calling him?
I like that pick as right. Packers number
yeah,
one, actually.
There you go.
Because they have the boat, Aaron Rodgers, playing quarterback. Shout out Max Kellerman. Good name.
Yeah.
So my first qualm with Pete Prisco is going to be having the Chargers at number
yes.
four.
I'm low on you guys know I'm a super Chargers fan.
Yeah, and I'm
low on them.
I do like the Chargers too, but they're missing Derwin James. They're missing Melvin Gordon right now. Derwin James is probably my favorite young player in the NFL. And if you know anything about the Chargers, with like the exception of just last year, they're going to lose four out of their first five and then rally and knock off like 10 in a row.
I also have a take I'm squatting on, which hurts me to say, but everyone keeps pointing around like Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Ben Roethlisberger. One of these guys is going to age overnight.
Don't.
Maybe Philip
Rivers. Don't. No. We need Philip Rivers. Around.
I know, but I'm saying one of these guys will, and it feels like everyone just forgetting Phil Rivers out on the West Coast.
I actually think that if you put Phil Rivers on the Pittsburgh Steelers instead of Ben Roethlisberger, they probably would have won like six Super Bowls.
Phil? Yeah. That's the dumbest thing I've ever
no,
heard.
It's not the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
Six Super Bowls.
They would have won six. I think Phil Rivers has got
six
a raw deal.
Six Super Bowls?
Yes, at least.
At least. Because Phil Rivers, noted guy who beats the Patriots.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's one common denominator listen, there.
And listen, no, there's so many other players on the field at any given time besides Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers was the best quarterback in that draft.
All right, good pick. How about, I mean, the Bears at 11 is insane. I'm sorry. I don't think the Bears are going to, I'm worried about the Bears season, but 11 is crazy.
That's
like,
not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, the fact that he has so many teams that didn't make the playoffs in front of him is ridiculous.
So
the Falcons, who I am high on, ahead of the Bears right now, is crazy. That's crazy.
It's a this-year league.
That's crazy.
It is a this-year league.
That's crazy. Bears defense is going to be number one
Hank,
defense.
You didn't listen to Hank. He said it's a this-year league.
All right, go ahead.
Do they have a kicker?
Pick. Yeah, Eddie Pinheiro.
Okay.
Ever heard of him? Probably the most pressure ever on a kicker week one.
Yeah, that's great. You love to
that
hear
that guy is going to melt
okay,
under pressure.
My next shitty pick.
It's going to be bad.
He's got the Vikings at 14. Vikings
Ooh.
Are going to finish 25.
So you're saying Kirk Cousins is on a perfectly average
No, 15 would be.
16.
15 would
16
be.
Would 16, be perfectly 16, average.
16, my math
so bad. He has them at least two slots too high. I think they might finish even lower because of the Slaughter curse, which, by the way, I am officially putting the Dunn chain on him. So I need to figure out what I'm doing. It's got to be the hair bet, right?
You did. There was a lot of... Wait, what?
No.
If the Vikings win the Super Bowl?
Oh, you're going to cut your hair?
Yeah, then I'll make it into
okay,
a wig
fine.
And give
Super
it to
Bowl,
Kirk Cousins.
It doesn't really matter, yeah.
Because he's bald and nobody talks about that.
All right, my...
How do you feel, people? There's a lot of Minnesota fans being like, how could you put on a curse on a team that's already cursed?
Yeah, that was kind of the...
Didn't get the joke.
That was the entire point. Of
all right.
The historically awesome and clutch Minnesota Vikings.
The fifth pick, so the last pick... I'm going to go deep on Pete Prisco's power rankings. I think the NFC North is going to be the toughest division this year, and I think the Lions are going to be better than 29th.
Okay.
Like, I don't think the Lions – I think the Lions are better than the Bengals. They're better than the Redskins. They're better than the Bucks.
I think
their defense is going to be good. I think the Lions are going to be friskier than people realize.
I would like to see Matt Patricia doing those QB drills like John Gruden was doing. But just him on a Segway.
Yeah.
Just like – trying to chase people down. Is it an ACL? Whatever
he had.
Is that an exclusive report?
Yeah.
The Broncos are too low at 24.
Dude, Joe Flacco stinks.
I think the Broncos are too low at 24. That altitude, the new pass interference rules you guys aren't talking about
enough. Joe Flacco stinks.
The defense is really, really good. Joe Flacco doesn't need to be elite. He just needs to have people asking the question, could he get back to being elite?
Okay.
And if that's the discussion, then the Broncos are going to finish in the top 16.
Okay. All right, so yeah, go check out also, Pete Prisco's stupid fucking power
Vic
rankings.
Fangio.
Yeah, Vic
Fangio. You know that guy brings a little mentality.
He is. Until they get away from Joe Flacco, they're going to stink, though. They are not going to score points.
I disagree.
That defense is going to be good, and they're going to be like, fuck, we're screwed again.
Joe Flacco is going to draw a minimum of 6 pass interference penalties a game.
All right, next up we have Mike Wilbon's name drop. So this was Skip.
Yeah,
Skip
Bayless. He did an ultimate name drop today. He was talking with Shannon on, was it Undisputed? Is that the name of their show? Love the new show on FS1. He said, I got a text from Lil Wayne this morning saying that there's more than meets the eye in the LaFleur Rodgers situation, meaning that they're getting ready to uncork a bunch of new secret plays that we haven't seen yet in the preseason, that their relationship is great, actually.
Okay.
So Lil Wayne was, like, looking through his third eye, and he was doing the Pete Prisco of sitting at home stoned on your couch and watching the preseason games and saying, these two guys, I like their relationship. Everyone says it sucks. Lil Wayne says it's good.
Lil Wayne. So Skip Bayless texts with Lil Wayne.
All the time. Yeah, they are actually, like,
did you know Matthew Berry texts with Jay-Z?
I did know that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who you got on a collab, if they were to each put down like a mixtape together?
Matthew Berry and Jay-Z and Skip Bayless and Lil Wayne.
Uh-huh.
I'll go Skip Bayless and Lil Wayne.
I think I go Weezy too.
That would be fire.
Uh-huh. Skip Bayless is a wordsmith. Like, they're the same. They're both goats just in their respective professions.
Yes. Agreed. Yes.
All right, last up before we get to Guys on Chicks, thoughts and prayers. I don't even remember what this was for.
Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
So Chris Jericho.
Recurring guest,
podcaster extraordinaire.
Loved us.
And wrestler. He had his AEW title
belt. He's not dead, Hank.
This is one of those, like, I'm excited. Like, I thought
Hank was doing the,
like,
ear thing that your dog does when the garage door goes up. He's like, huh?
Yeah, he did the head tilt to the side. Chris Jericho had his title belt stolen from him when he was at a Tallahassee Longhorn Steakhouse.
Damn. So, at least
he's all right.
We don't victim shame on this podcast, but
if you
leave your title belt in a Tallahassee steakhouse, a wrestling belt in a Tallahassee steakhouse, that is a gold mine.
The Montreal steak seasoning screwdriver.
That is 1.7.
The Montreal Wagyu boobs. Job.
1.7 boobs.
Apparently it wasn't in the steakhouse. He was in the steakhouse.
He left it outside
in his limo. And somebody stole it from him.
But if you pull up to a Tallahassee steakhouse in a limo, everyone's just looking at it like, what does that fancy person have in there?
Yeah.
Maybe, like, a wrestling belt.
Even all the servers come outside. They assume you're a professional wrestler if you go to a steakhouse in a limousine down there. Yeah, it sucks. I'm sorry, Chris Jericho. But first of all, you're a podcaster.
And second of all, you're not dead.
You're not dead. That's a good spin zone. But as a podcaster, you should not even be wearing belts. You should just be strictly sweatpants.
True. Sweatpants or bird dogs.
Should be a title waistband.
Yeah.
Not a title belt.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Guys on Chicks. Then Friday we have, we have our favorite coach, Coach O, on Friday.
Not a big deal.
Literally, he called in and his voice made us all so happy.
I don't know if we're going to include this part in the podcast, but when he first picked up before we really started the interview, he just goes, "What's up, boys?"
Yeah, and
I was ready to go.
Holy shit.
Hi, gang. I got married in March, and my husband and I recently had the biggest argument yet. It all started when he locked the door to take a dump.
Oh.
Now, I've never tried to come in the bathroom while he's busy in there unless I can hear him actively showering, in which case I go in there to put makeup on or something. I stay out of the way and have never even tried the bathroom door. So a couple weeks ago, when I could hear him in the shower, I tried to come in for my hairbrush and the door was locked. Apparently, he's been locking the door every time he poops, then unlocking it before he showers, so I've never even known he locks it since I don't try the door unless I hear the shower. I think it's really weird that he locks the door in our own house, especially since no one else is ever around, and it almost hurts my feelings that he doesn't trust me not to interrupt. But he says he's just being polite. Who is right? Should he lock the door?
He's right. He's yeah. right. You're wrong. He's jerking off, too.
Yeah, there's that, and there's also
like,
that
that's a fact.
He's making sure that you don't make any unwanted mistakes.
Yeah, he's saving you from yourself. Mm-hmm. He's actually very, like, no, he is. Like, you don't want to see what goes on there when he jerks off onto his shit.
Yeah, he's probably cranking it from the back,
right?
Like, underneath
his leg.
He's
blumping himself.
Yeah, so you don't trust me. You don't want to see. I don't know if you've seen the intro to this year's episode of Mindhunter. But locking a bathroom door can actually save a lot when it comes to... He's probably wearing a clown mask
yeah.
and tying his neck up to the door with a tie.
Yeah, so yeah, don't go in. That's just... Listen, a guy doesn't have a lot of safe spaces. Podcast is one of them. Bars on Sundays.
Our man cave. In Tallahassee.
Hooters.
With a big wrestling belt that we stole hanging up in it.
Yeah, and locking the door when you have to shit, jerk off, and shower.
That's it. We don't ask for much. I had a roommate in college that used to lock his bedroom door every time he would shower because he didn't trust one of my roommates. That was my friend because my roommate just got out of jail. No big deal. Long story.
Oh, wow.
But when he would come out of the bathroom, he'd have to like bring his key with him and unlock his door and his towel to get back in his room. And one time he forgot his key, and so he was just locked out of his own bedroom in his own house wearing a towel.
Damn.
And then he had to ask my friend, the criminal, to come break the door down for him.
Which he knew how to do.
Right. Is really emasculating all around.
Hey, Hunky Hank and the boys.
Oh.
My boyfriend switched to keto, and now he sucks to eat with. How do I make him eat like a normal person again?
Don't you want him to be hot? Don't you want him to be hot?
That's a good question. I think you just start in with the, like, I love you the way you are.
Or just, honestly, as someone who right now is going no carb life, just put enough pizza in the fridge. He'll, like, if I come home tonight and there's pizza in the fridge, I'm eating it. Like, I am. So just do that. Just really submarine his efforts to better himself. That's true love.
Also, if you just say that whatever like kind of dough that you're serving on the pizza or any sort of like carb-like substance is made from cauliflower, he'll just eat it and he won't know.
Yeah.
So just be like, hey, it's cauliflower. I'll be like, oh, this isn't that bad.
Frozen yogurt. Just get a lot of frozen yogurt. If I see frozen yogurt, I eat it. I had 3 ice cream cones on Saturday. Just wanted to get that out there.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Did you have to walk to the ice cream stand 3 separate times?
I got one at like noon. I got one at like True Ice Cream. Like there's ice cream trucks and
you were in your apartment and every time you heard the ding ding,
they don't ding ding. They fucking sit down the street. I was just like, I gotta walk Stella. Gotta walk Stella, and I just crush ice cream cones.
I like that. I've been getting into just like popsicles in the freezer,
mm-hmm.
but then you eat 8 or 9 of them.
I can't stand popsicles.
You have to get the right one.
That's like, I mean, just go all the way.
Sup, PMT boys, especially Big Cat and PFT. I was listening to the show today and was amazed with how smart Hank's ideas were to stop the hurricane. Did you guys talk to him about how impressive that was off air?
Did we? Did I say something?
I don't think so. I'm always impressed
with Hank. I actually had that on my to-do list today. Tell Hank he's smart.
What were your ideas, Hank? Just like get everybody to fart at it?
Yeah.
Windmills.
Just yell really loud.
Oh, naming the
hurricane bad things.
Good things.
No,
sponsoring things. It.
Sponsoring it. Yes, sponsoring
it. I want to name it bad things so everyone would be afraid of it. You wanted to bring in like a donation element where you could text the hurricane.
Yeah.
And then it would automatically donate.
Hurricane Walmart.
This is actually on the Barstool Gold episode, but you said today that they should figure out a way to send the hurricane to the Amazon, and that was, I think, the most
diverted.
Why yeah. not? Like,
just build a wall.
Yeah, well, build a wind wall.
Probably shouldn't say that.
No, you can't do that. And, and the Cape Verde Islands are going to pay for it.
Sup, PMT boys, especially our sweet Prince Liam.
Ooh.
I don't know if you're doing guys on chicks tonight, but this is an urgent inquiry. A coworker of mine just revealed to us that she requires her husband to pee sitting down. Every time.
That's
not
awesome.
Just late
Alpha.
Night sitting pees.
Yes.
Every pee is a sit pee. She even checks the trash can next to the toilet
yes.
to make sure there are no splatters because she can always tell.
Yep. That's a fact.
Bad Woo. Aim.
Some of the fellas in the office are absolutely appalled and ask for my advice on whether or not it would be over the line to have an intervention for this woman's husband despite having never spoken to him in their lives. As a woman, would that that would never subject her husband to such restrictions. I need to know if taking their side and telling them to intervene would break the girl code.
First of all, I just love the idea that there's just like a group of fellas in the office that are all riled up about some girl that's making your husband pee sitting down. And they're getting like really mad about it as a collective unit.
Here's the thing. In life, there are some people you will come across that just like to be told what to do. And so to interrupt that, like, I guarantee you this guy probably is like, you know what? I kind of like it when my wife tells me I have to sit down and take a piss.
Yeah, like when he takes a pee standing up, like he's getting an adrenaline rush.
Right, exactly. No, so, right. So you just got to leave him alone. Like, he probably likes to have, he probably has his sweaters laid out for him by his wife. He probably has his dinner plans set for months in advance. He likes order. He likes someone else telling him what to do. You got to let those people live.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I wouldn't have a problem being told to. Sometimes it's nice to do. If I'm tired in the middle of the night, sometimes I'll sit down to pee. But that's because I choose to do it, so I feel fine about it. Being told to sit down and pee all the time feels like something that you would agree to only if there were just a lot of other bigger fish to fry out there for you.
And he's got shitty aim. I mean, dude, if he's hitting the trash can, come on, dude. That, what are you, like, seven?
Also, maybe figure that out. Maybe she beat him in fantasy football last year, and this was a bet that they had.
That'd be great.
Great transition. Hey, boys, now that football season is back, it's time to start focusing on my fantasy team. I usually use the pickup line to guys. Can you help me set my lineup to just start conversation? But I have been getting terrible recommendations in the past seasons. How do I tell a football guy from an amateur, and what do you think is a fair trade for a guy who gets my team all the way to the playoffs?
Ooh.
I'll tell you what, if you really want your team to succeed, you have to have the advantage of knowledge, of superior knowledge, and you have to be willing to educate yourself, which is why I listen to the Fantasy Footballers, and I downloaded...
That was what this was?
I downloaded the football, Jesus the Fantasy Christ. Life app from Matthew Berry.
Yeah. Wait, shit, that's not the name of Hank's podcast.
I know, I was trolling Hank.
I totally forgot the name of his podcast.
The Fantasy Football...
Because it's so meaningless in my life.
Yeah.
PFT actually named it, so he remembers.
Fantasy Football
Factory. I remember us having some different names for it, Hank.
We came up with a bunch of them, yeah. And Hank
No, everyone, them. Everyone, we have a live draft tomorrow night.
It's true.
Live draft.
That was actually, it was just a good question.
No, but it was a great segue for us to plug your podcast.
I appreciate that, but that truly was not why.
Your success is our success.
That is the truth. It's your guys' podcast more than mine.
No, it's not. I don't even get followed by the account.
That's fucked
true.
Up.
That's true.
He's fucked up.
And the bigger Hank gets at this, the less time he spends with us. So
yeah, right.
Everyone download Hank's app.
The more mistakes he makes on this show.
Wait, perfect. Hank, what time is your draft tomorrow?
The draft.
Nobody cares about your fantasy team.
Fair enough.
All right, we'll see everyone Friday.
Love you guys. Sorry.